This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. An update now on the 2-year-old Iraqi boy whose face was burned in a fire at a refugee camp in Iraq. The boy is awaiting more surgery at Shriners Hospital in Boston, but the operation is on hold because his parents cannot get back to the U.S. to be with him. The U.S. revoked their visas. We first told you about little Dilbereen Moosin yesterday on Morning Edition. He was brought to the United States last fall by a U.K.-based charity called Road to Peace. Road to Peace is led by a British woman named Sally Becker. There's a short video of her coaxing Dilbereen to talk.
Say Sally. Say Sally.
Sally.
Good boy.
And there's another key figure in this story. It's a California filmmaker who grew up in New Bedford. He's been the driving force in getting Dilbereen and other Iraqi children who need medical care to the U.S. His name is Scott Lestati. He worked his contacts to help the kids get care at Shriners Hospitals, both in Boston and Minneapolis. And he wrote letters so as to sponsor the children and their families for their visas. We spoke with Scott Lestati today about the plight of little Dilbereen Moosin. The boy is cared for now by a volunteer nurse in Michigan while he awaits the next surgery in Boston. Lestati was moved the first time he met the little boy.
He has extensive burns to his face, you know, which is difficult to see on anybody, let alone a sweet, innocent child. But he is an amazing kid. You know, he is just like any other child, American or Iraqi. He's a happy child, and I think that that's what struck me the most, is he was just a happy, good-natured little boy who had heartbreaking, extensive burns on his face. I also felt very grateful because here we were in a situation where Shriners was agreeing to treat him and agreed to treat him for free for many years. I believe 21 years they agreed to continue to do follow-up surgery with him for free.
He did have one surgery. That's when you met him when he was here in Boston. What was the nature of that one?
Correct. What they wanted to focus on or attack first is the extensive scar tissue around his mouth because it was preventing him from being able to actually close his mouth. They went after that first and got a very good result. He can actually close his mouth now, which allows him to do tasks that we take for granted, like he can brush his teeth on his own. He can actually feed himself on his own. These were things that he could not do prior to that surgery because he couldn't close his mouth.
The intended neck surgery was supposed to be for January. It was rescheduled to February. What was to be done then?
If you look at his photo, he's at risk of losing his vision in his eye. The scar tissue has crept far enough into his eye that it's become a major problem. And so that is the next surgery is to focus on alleviating that scar tissue.
A bit of the backstory here. 2-year-old Dilbereen came from Iraq for surgery in Boston last October. His parents had visas to travel here, although only his father accompanied him. Dilbereen's mother was toward the end of her pregnancy with another child. After Dilbereen's surgery, his father went back to Iraq for the birth of his new baby.
The thought is that they would have the baby and then the family would travel back to be with Dilbereen for his follow-up surgery. Very ironically, the baby was born on the day that we found out President Trump was elected, and they were so grateful to the United States that they named the child Trump. So Dilbereen's brother is actually named Trump. They had an appointment at the consulate in Erbil on December 26th to get Trump a visa. The parents already had visas. Trump was rejected for a visa in that appointment, and we tried again. The same consular officer is not allowed to hear the visa interview twice in a row. They went to Baghdad on January 9th, and it was in that January 9th appointment where Trump was not only rejected, but the officer giving the interview stamped a rejection in their visas, and their visas have a stamp on them that says that they are revoked.
This is before President Trump's executive
Correct.
Order. Yeah. What was the reason
Correct.
For that?
It was technically before Trump was actually sworn in. The reason given, they were given a somewhat standard form letter that said that they could not show significant enough ties to their home country to prove that they would not be a flight risk. We did reapply again. That appointment was on Sunday, 3 days ago. And when they went to the consulate in Erbil, they had no prior notice, but they were told that their appointment had been canceled and that they were not going to hear any new interviews for 90 days. So the tricky situation is, even if for a second we can put aside the fact that Dilbereen is in desperate need of surgery, the fact remains that we have an infant, a 2-year-old here in the U.S. with extensive injuries who's separated from his parents, and his parents are unable to come get him, and they're unable to come be with him.
But he's been without his parents for months now.
Yeah, and this one of the very sad facts is that, you know, we suspect that just because of his age and how long he's been separated, he's starting to forget who his parents are.
Scott, you kept on saying we applied for a visa, et cetera. You use the word we a lot. How are you a part of this? What is your role here?
My role in the visa process at this point has been mostly financial. With a group of people, we've, you know, raised funds to support things like travel and living for these kids.
Are you, I mean, you're a filmmaker. Is your intent to make a film of this?
No, it's funny. I get that question a lot. That's not the intention at this point. I mean, obviously, I'm sure that's something I'll reflect upon once we know how this story ends, which we don't know yet.
What is the intent? What's driving you?
My intention is simply to help someone that needs help. You know, my intention is that there is a child in need, and I can do something to help. And so that's really my only intention and my only motivation.
What are the options now? I mean, it seems as if the door was closed on Dilberine's parents in Erbil when they went to try and get the visa approved. What could happen now?
We keep hearing rumors that they're hearing appointments again, but on the ground, that hasn't been our experience. Something could change in the next 24 or 48 hours, and if that's the case, of course, we'll reapply and we'll work the traditional channels again. You know, we're also consulting with attorneys to get advice as to what our options are and that sort of thing. Simultaneously, I know Sally, you know, is looking for backup options as far as medical care in other countries, but it would be a shame, you know, if here we have a very generous hospital that can make a giant difference in Dilibrine's life, that's already started treating him, that's willing to keep treating him. It would be a shame if we couldn't continue that process.
Scott Lestati, thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I really appreciate your time.